Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Thursday edition, although in the Packers world it's a Wednesday, so that's going to be confusifying edition. The Mark Gerald Tauscher III is on a field trip, I believe, unless I'm mistaken.
No.
Edition.
When, today?
I thought that was today. Is that not today?
No.
No, he's
no,
at
there's
home.
No field trips. No, there's no field trips.
Oh, I thought we had a big thing going on. I was misinformed or just wasn't listening closely
tomorrow,
to Jesse.
And it's later than what it was originally scheduled, so there's no field trip at all.
Oh, great. Well, now I'm in an even better mood edition. I'm Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. I just retweeted the video on Twitter. And, of course, everything
nice.
You need. And the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Android and Apple app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson's in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And at his undisclosed location, not on a field trip, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was able to catch a little of Jelly's pregame show last night on 100.5 as I was out in my Zimbrick Chevy Tahoe dropping some young ladies off at gymnastics and et cetera. I'll tell you what, those girls, they warm up a long time. Gymnasts warm up. I think half the practice is a warm up. Am I crazy? You've been around gymnastics forever. Is that what gymnastics is? Is an hour warm up?
No. How long does she practice? Like last night, our girls had practice too. They practiced for 4 hours, so they go 4:30.
Well, your girls are like world class.
No, that's not.
My Eleanor is just out there grinding. You know, trying to find a bone, you know what I mean? Figuring things out.
That's not what I mean. But if you think the warm-up is long, if you're practicing for 4 hours, it probably isn't as percentage-wise.
So, Eleanor, I usually don't drive Eleanor to gymnastics. There's some stuff. Sarah had some stuff last night, so I was called to duty. Mm. And I don't watch practices. You and I couldn't be more different on that. I want my kids to just go. And I want to let them fly and go do their thing. I don't want to be that guy, helicopter chopper guy. But it was weird last night. Like, I think because I usually don't drive her, she was indicating to me she wanted me to come watch some gymnastics. I don't know a ton about gymnastics. I watch wrong kids at gymnastics meets. That's what I've done in the past. Thank you, COVID. But, I mean, they warm up forever. That's probably why they're so pliable. It's probably why these kids are so pliable, because they warm up for 35, 40 minutes. That's just my lone little rant.
I don't go to practices anymore. That was when they were younger.
Well, it's because they're 4 hours long.
Well,
probably.
That's true. They are lengthy. Not everyone is, but Wednesdays are for sure. Did you stay and watch after the warm-up? Did you go get a cup of coffee? What did you do then?
Well, first off, this is like a spectator sport, these practices. People are in there as benches and bleachers. And obviously there's a lot of young kids too. So I watched what I thought was enough, and I ended up, as I left, Eleanor came home later that evening and said, "You didn't even see me do anything." And I said, "How do you know? I don't want you watching to see if I'm watching." Because I stayed for 30 minutes, and I did see a little bit, but probably not to the same degree that I think she wanted me to. So I felt like I did a good job. I did a lot more than I wanted to. I don't know if I did enough to suffice her interest in having me watch her practice. Does that make any sense? I felt
so torn
that I did enough, but I didn't do as much as she would have liked.
If you didn't do as much as she wanted you to, can you really say you did enough?
I did a lot more than I wanted to. Listen,
well, that's not the same as enough.
What I want to do, I want to get to our kids' meets, games, etc. I don't want to watch practice. Not at all. Not even a little bit. I went. I watched. But I guess I didn't watch to the same degree that that she wanted. So
when you but you obviously coached Max in baseball.
And I'm going to help out. And I coach Max in basketball. I help out Eleanor in softball. Mm-hmm. And I will be helping her in basketball, too. But there's nothing I can do. Like, literally, I don't know a ton about volleyball. I know enough that I could help if you needed. But I can't. I'm not going to do it. Gymnastics, you might as well have, I mean, and this wasn't me coaching. I just want to make sure. I don't know anything about nothing.
No, I get it.
I watch these meets and I'll think, why is that score so much lower? She stuck her landing and she did this, and I don't know any of the techniques.
Okay, I guess what I'm asking in a very much a non judgmental way.
Okay, you're going to be very judgy, but
no, not at all. You were judging me earlier about how much of practice I have watched over the years. Helicopter chopper, I heard that.
But
yeah,
you
I heard
said
it.
You're helicopter so, chopper.
So
Dad. I've never
so,
said that. You've
if
said
I may.
A needle pulling
if
thread.
I may. Yep. So your kids obviously enjoy you being around. They enjoy your company. Wow. They enjoy you coaching their teams. This would be the one area where you don't get to see practice because you're not there helping out. That's not, as you have established, not your area of expertise. So probably reasonable for Eleanor to want you to kind of see her regimen as she grinds, as her dad just said, at practice. So sure. I guess the only question I have is, what more pressing thing did you have that you departed after 30 minutes? Was it to listen to Jesse's pregame show? Because I'm just curious if you had other things you needed to do that you departed, or it was just simply, I can't watch any more of this. This is boring.
I'm not going to lie to our audience. I didn't have anything else major on the agenda.
Okay.
I didn't.
I appreciate it.
So,
honesty.
No.
So, if you had a power rank, and this is actually a question for all parents, if you had a power rank the sports that you want to watch as a sports parent.
Ooh, yeah.
Like gymnastics.
Not coaching. No coaching
no
at all.
No coaching. Just
okay.
Spectator only. I have come to, I know that you have said that soccer fans are phony And I agree with you. I'm not sitting and watching.
Did I say soccer fans are phony?
Maybe you didn't use the word
that
phony, but it was a.
That sounds a little harsh for me.
It might have been a euphemism, pretending
to
be.
I don't like soccer.
No,
I've
but
said,
you,
I don't
you,
like
you said there's a lot of posers that pretend like they like the Premier League.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I didn't say there are some. There are some diehard soccer fans.
Sure.
You go over to England and sit in a pub, people are all in. There's
sure.
a lot of Americans that are trying to act Euro that think that they, oh, I love soccer. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Sure you do. Yeah.
Some might say they're phony.
That I've said. I don't think I used the term phony, but posing
but
posing sounds more up my alley.
You have said you are a phony soccer fan. Like when the World Cup rolls around and the
100%.
U.S. is playing, we're all in, and then they lose.
No. Jesse, I am a big I am a fan of big events. I love the juice at these big events.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm not interested in, you know, a little baby soccer event. No, I'm not. But if there's a Real Madrid playing somebody at Lambeau or when the World Cup comes, yeah, because it's a big event and people are talking about it, I'm intrigued. But if it's just a normal game like QPR, when we went to the QPR game over there, I was intrigued because I hadn't seen an audience where they let the other opposing teams have good seats and there's nasty chanting and it is just, you can feel the passion.
Uh-huh.
I was in for that. But I'm not in for – I'm just not intrigued to watch L.A. Galaxy play United Utah in some random Tuesday game. I'm not going to act like, oh, my God, did you see that backward bicycle kick by Johnson? No, I don't give a rip.
Last name, Roberson.
That's the posing.
Okay, so what I was – thank you. Thank you for establishing your soccer position. I have come to enjoy –
And offsides is stupid.
It's hard to figure out, for sure.
And the clock, the way they run the clock is even dumber. Another little added point.
Sure. Any other soccer thoughts that you'd like to include?
DeForest is a juggernaut in soccer. Last year, one of my best buddy's kids was on the team. They got beat. Great little setup down. I don't remember. It's like U-Haul Stadium or something down outside of Milwaukee, where they play state tournament soccer.
U-Line.
Went down and watched.
Yeah, U-Line. Dick U-Line.
Yeah, U-Line, U-Haul. That DeForest juggernaut soccer. Well, that was my only other soccer point.
Okay,
I know you're a big DeForest fan.
Big love the Norskies. Coach Mack. So I have come to enjoy watching Sid's soccer games, even though that's not a sport that I am overly knowledgeable on, or like you, I am not, you know, looking forward to Premier League games that I have to get up early and watch. You know, Bulaga's favorite team, Manchester City, for example, against Tottenham Hotspur. Gymnastics meets are tough because you're there for like 4 hours for your child to compete for about five total minutes on the four events.
Gymnastics is I know you asked that question. Gymnastics is the bottom of the list for me. Just so we all are on the same page.
I'm lucky that the girls have tried just about everything under the sun. I enjoyed watching Sydney play tennis. That was fun to watch. Volleyball is obviously a very high-energy sport. Obviously, basketball.
All right, so power rank it quick. If you have to sit under a picnic table with a laptop and your kids are playing, what are you going to do?
Number five, gymnastics, easily. Number four, track and field, for the same reason. You're there for a very long time for your child to compete for a very brief time. Number three, cross country, because at least you can zigzag around the course to see them more frequently. But you also get a workout.
That's how you got that bad plantar fascia. Is that cross country? Your kids. Let's be honest. You're telling me you're jogging around cross country fields. Jason running around cross country fields, watching his kids run, or is he driving around planting?
How big do you think these tracks are?
They're 5 miles.
I've seen,
but they're in a loop. Don't you run 5 miles in a cross country meet?
3.1.
I've seen him post pictures So he's very much there. I have a hard time seeing him, like, running across the
course. I just don't see you putting on the... putting on your running shoes and just sprinting to the next segment. Maybe I'm wrong. Cross country, by the way, let me apologize to gymnastics, because cross country would be 10 rings lower than gymnastics. Continue.
Number two, soccer. Number one, volleyball. Now, the reason why basketball and softball are not on the list is because we're not doing those anymore. So those, neither one of those are in the mix. So I would
choose basketball. Would they be if they were still playing? Let's just go not active. Your whole history, because I think parents are hoping their kids play sports that they're obviously really good at and passionate about. Uh-huh. All of the other stuff, this is all menial. Like, if my kid wanted, I would put swimming below cross country. But if my kids were really good swimmers and wanted to do it,
sure,
I'd go, I'd watch, but I'd be miserable. Same thing with some of these other sports. Would baseball and softball wouldn't beat volleyball in your book, would it?
It would not, but it would be ahead of soccer. And basketball would be on the top. I'm going to really miss that. Sid had some ability there, but she's decided to focus on volleyball, so I'm sad, but I can't be a hypocrite and, you know, force her to play so I can watch. But that would be number one. I'm going to miss
maybe
basketball.
Maybe part of it is you're not coaching. No. Because you coached that SWAT, didn't you?
I was one of the assistants the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But before that, I had been there. I would have helped coach Chad this season with the JV if he wanted me to.
You know what would be really selfless, and I always appreciate this? If you still go help Chad, even though your kid's not there.
Coach anyway.
That is selfless.
I actually did ask him if I could still help. So
what did Chad say? I'm sure he's like, yes. Right?
I think when you get to high school, you're a little reluctant to have parents involved in terms of coaching, at least at our high school. So okay. I guess I'm not a parent, so I can't help now because my child's not on the team. So
you'd even be better suited because you don't have any interest involved.
Correct. I'm not
a fan of any of the kids.
Idea. This is fantastic.
I would love to do it. I will. I'll let you know if Chad has any interest in my in my help.
Coach
I'm really
Chad.
More of a glorified equipment manager who gives an occasional inspirational speech or two, but be that as it may.
Coach Chad better hope you're not a good assistant on a not-so-good team. Otherwise, he might be the head coach before you know it, if that ends up being the case.
No, I just want to state for the record.
The Jeff Hafley of softball.
I love Coach Chad, and I am very disappointed because I think he is a fantastic coach and a fantastic personality. It's the only reason Sydney considered still playing, even though she really wanted to focus on volleyball, is because Coach Chad is so phenomenal. So that is where we stand on sports.
Let's give a kudos to Coach Chad. Yeah. Let's give a kudos
good dude.
To Coach Chad.
Yeah. And now that I've said nice things about him, I'd like him to come twist Sydney's arm and convince her to play because I really am going to miss it. All right, so we got a lot to get to today. It's these weird Monday weeks. I want you to help us understand how much a Monday night game throws off the football player body clock. I'm very curious about that. But what I'm more curious about is who this couple was that was in one of the Gina Della Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin commercials. Like, I recognized Levering and his wife when he was in it. Obviously, there's been some other luminaries that have done these commercials. I don't know if these were just two random, very happy customers or someone famous that I didn't recognize, but I came across it last night when I was watching TV, and I was like, boy, that Gina Della, she is sleek in that commercial.
Yeah, Gina looks fantastic. And I'm going to tell you something. Yes, it's great that Levo and you and me and Wayne Larrivee and other folks have been, Vinny and his wife, have been with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. But, Gina, it's for everybody. When it comes to your home, the smart play is to trust Gina Della and her team at Pella. Rumor has it that Gina wanted to go a little bit more civilian-esque because of some of the demands and some of the talent showing up late for the shoots. I don't know if that's all completely true, but there was some oh, I have to wear a yellow sweatshirt and I have to have certain food and I have to. So she wanted to go in a little different direction. Just a rumor. Just a rumor.
But this isn't a rumor this month.
This month, you can score. Keep out of this. This month, you can score a whole house of new energy efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month with zero interest for up to 72 months. That's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to the incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping all of those drafts. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Wildy and Tausch rolls on next, so stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. I'm not afraid of getting old and I will stay from dying young. I see the light go past my shoulder and I will stay from dying young. And I'm not afraid.
Enjoy when the YouTube conversations are parallel to our show, but not necessarily our topics. In Milwaukee, John apparently ate so many Sour Patch Kids that his tongue is raw. So just for everyone reading along there, there's some information that I wasn't expecting. And Treb, not Tom Treblehorn, but Treb in the Madison commentary, inquiring about ballet, which is not technically a sport per se, but certainly a pursuit.
Yeah.
This is now year two of Maddie having retired from that. In fairness to her, she would have had
you
to basically
didn't mind
be
that retirement.
Well, she would have been there 5 days a week, and she would have basically been a professional ballerina, which is awesome, but five drives to Milwaukee every single day during the week would have been a lot. But I am going through withdrawal again for the Nutcracker, which is always the highlight of our November-December calendar. All right, speaking
you know,
of calendars.
You might be fun. What if the Wildy family does their own rendition of the Nutcracker? You have actors. You're a great actor. I've seen you on those Pella ads. You're very
diva-ish
in your demands. Everybody knows that. I think you guys could put together, I don't know anything about the Nutcracker, never seen it, but you guys could put a Wildy family edition of the Nutcracker on, right? I would, let's digi-only that and do it. That'd be fun. And you know what? I'll jump in. If you need another character, I would be happy to be part of this production.
Yeah, I think you could be the Mouse King. I think I'll
Why,
be Drosselmeyer.
Like or something? What,
okay. Yeah, he's the villain.
Mm-hmm. He's That's kind of what I figured.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've never seen it? Not even like
no.
in passing?
Yeah. I know. It's got the big candlesticks as part of it, right? Isn't that part of the whole deal with Nutcrackers?
It's kind of weird.
The little guy that stands there with the big candlestick?
I think you're thinking right? of I think you're thinking of Beauty and the Beast.
No, it's like it's the decorative thing. It's a big, tall thing, and they stand kind of like those guards outside of London. Isn't that what the
What does that have to do with being a candlestick? They stand like
no, but
candles.
It's, you put like candles in them. That's like the decorative mm-hmm. thing. Yeah, it's a decorative thing.
I actually understand what he's saying, and I think he's right.
Thank you, Jesse.
Okay. Jesse will be playing Mother Ginger. So, it's Monday Night Football. Packers, Eagles. Packers favored by 2.5? I understand the game's at Lambeau.
That means they're underdogs. That means they're underdogs by one.
But this is
that's what ESPN not, bet. I think ESPN bet put that out there. It's 3.5, 2.5,
two and
there,
a half.
But it's a point for home. ESPN bet.
Thanks. So normally you just have an extra day of work. We did not have an extra day of access. I know that they did jog-throughs or walk-throughs or meetings and that kind of stuff yesterday. How much does a Monday night game mess with your clock as a player?
Yeah,
I know you didn't enjoy spending all day Monday waiting all day for Monday night was not something you enjoyed, no. correct?
No, Monday night games stink. I think you'd actually, and I know the Thursday game people get upset about because you're just not ready a lot of times. But I would bet if you ask players, this would actually be an interesting poll question that you should poll the players. Would you rather play on a Thursday?
Would you come to the Wildy production of the Nutcracker at our house?
No. Would you rather play on a Thursday or a Monday? Because you're getting kind of both ends. And I would venture most players would say Thursday. Because what happens with these Monday night games is, yeah, you get extra rest. You get a day. You get to watch games. But I know for sure if you have a road game on a Monday night, it's the worst. Because then that you not only do you lengthen and you get bored with, because you're so used to, all right, Thursday's red zone, Wednesday short yardage goal line, blitz pickup. Then on Friday you just reboot the same thing, and you don't want to ever be in an organization that meets just to meet or that practices just to practice. You go overkill and you do things and it becomes monotonous and it's a hard thing to kind of overcome. And you have your routine where you get a massage and you do this and you have all of your stuff. Thursday night dinner, do you switch that to Friday? What am I going to do on Saturday? I don't know. You got people coming in. It just throws your whole clock off, whereas a Thursday, you don't have time to even think. It's here. So I would bet, I think it'd be a real interesting thing for you to pull the guys in the locker room and come back with, if you get us a sample size of 20, is that too much to ask? I would bet it's going to be 15-5 Thursday, because Monday night games drag it out, and then especially if you're on the road, like if you're down in Jacksonville or if you're out west, Tuesday shot, Wednesday shot, and you really end up losing a day that you just gain. It's the daylight savings time of scheduling for football. And players, I think, appreciate the day that you get if you're injured a little bit, that you can maybe rest up. But I think coaches and players, by Friday, you're just like, let's just get to the game.
Right.
And you have to figure out, do I want to go with more of a fundamental day on Wednesday and then just make our Thursday Wednesday and our Friday Thursday and then our Saturday Friday and then our Sunday Saturday and then our Sunday Monday. And you just start getting to the point where you're like, let's just go. And that's why none of us really enjoyed Monday. Everybody says all the right things. Oh, it's a standalone game and all this. It's great. It's prime. And it is. But all of the other stuff, none of us liked it.
The Packers then turn around and go on the road on a shorter week to play the New York Giants at the Meadowlands next week. So Eagles, Giants, back-to-back games against the NFC East, and then we get into the heart of the NFC North schedule. Vikings, Lions, and Bears, oh my, in the consecutive 3 weeks that follow this little stretch here. So it's an interesting time on the schedule, and it starts with the defending Super Bowl champs.
I also saw on ESPN Bet this morning that if you weren't watching Good Morning America, you'd find out. There's some interesting news with ESPN Bet, but it went over your head a little bit. And you're not a gamble guy, so I get that. But if Green Bay loses this game Monday night, even though they are positioned beautifully right now, guess what their chance of being the one seed? And I've told you, I might bring back the most important one seed in the history of the NFC this year. I might. I haven't decided yet, but I think I'm going to, because I do declare the jumbledness of this group of teams is going to be so important. It goes to 3% on ESPN Bet if Philadelphia beats Green Bay. If Green Bay wins this game, they are the prohibitive favorites to get the one seed. That is what is at stake on Monday night.
What?
Now, in fairness, ESPN Bet is
on this one game.
In fairness, ESPN Bet is dissolved, and I'm not sure they're even in operation anymore. But
they are.
That is what I saw.
December 1st.
Which I have a bet outstanding from when we were across the border that the Broncos are going to make the playoffs, because old T said
when
the Broncos.
In Canada? When did you go to Canada?
No, in Iowa or Illinois or whatever state it's legal, wherever I went. You said the Broncos were going to be good. I got the Broncos to make the playoffs. I got to make sure that cashes because that's a nice little payday I'm going to get if it still cashes in January.
Let me tell you something. Broncos are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Broncos not making the playoffs. I'm worried about getting my pay from the
Yeah, it's a tricky
wager.
Deal. But my point is, Jason, this is a big boy game, not only for that, but also, as I said yesterday, and I'll say tomorrow, and I'll probably say Monday, I really think psychologically this is a big game for this team and for Matt LaFleur.
Yeah,
I think this is one of those marble games. This is a marble game.
A what? For those of you unfamiliar with Tausch's vernacular, Tausch, explain what a marble game is.
It's for all the marbles. If you get a jumbo, you're going to go and get the cat
Jesse
eyes.
Had no idea.
That's so disappointing.
what do you want me to say? The proof's in the pudding?
Why wouldn't you? No.
It's a pudding game.
Why wouldn't you just say this is a game for all the marbles? Why would you say it's a marble game?
Because like it's catchier to say it.
You just wanted to be a little bit different than what everyone else
I'm
says?
I'm sorry. Jesse, I'll dull this thing up and go less details if you want. I know that's what we're always taught is to be as bland. And
well, you did go less words instead of a game
you
for all
did,
the marbles.
Yeah, because
you call it a marble game.
Anyways,
marble
the
rye.
Point being, sure, marbles. Marbles doesn't seem to still have what it's going. I don't want to get back into that because I used to love the clear jumbos. I loved it, and then they'd get a little chippy if you'd play on concrete.
Mm, cat's eye.
What would you say?
Yeah, cats. Steelies were the bad ones. They break windows.
Would you say it's for all the Steelies. Monopoly money? Would that be a more modern reference?
Were you throwing your marbles that you were breaking windows? You lost your marbles?
Marbles will bounce, and they'll ricochet. We played marbles like bocce ball. Like we had a system at St. Mary's Elementary School, and there was a mat in front of like a little gulch, and then there were steps. So we'd move it up to the steps, and occasionally you'd like fire it to try to hit it on the step.
And you broke a window.
And if it would ricochet, Steely broke. They banned Steelies because we broke a window with the Steely.
Were you the perpetrator, or was it one of your marble cronies?
No, we learned. We were lesson learners on that.
Tausch's Marble Mafia at St. Mary's Elementary.
How does this happen on this show? No.
We would get into some games now where you'd have to bulldog people into playing. Like if somebody has a jumbo, they're not real interested in playing unless you get a croc eye. You're not real interested in playing for the little baby marble because a baby marble, there was always negotiating. How many times does the baby marble have to hit the jumbo in order for you to overtake the jumbo? And most people are like, why would I ever put the jumbo up against this little baby marble? Well, if it's a beautiful marble and it's got a nice long cat eye or it's something real crystal and your jumbo's beat up, you might do it. But, boy, it's somewhere between 8 to 10 hits for you to get the jumbo to be able to secure it. And you only have to hit the marble one time.
All right, could you help those of us?
I feel like he's talking sheep's head again.
Exactly. Hey, let's... for those of us that don't have as much marbling experience as you do, are you suggesting that if you hit Jesse's marble with your marble, then you get to take his marble and keep it? And that's where the saying of for all the marbles comes from, is you get to scoop them all and keep them?
Why else would you play? Yes, you're not just – people aren't just randomly throwing marbles and saying, oh, that was cute, you hit it. Great job, Johnny. Now let's go get lunch. I'm going for blood. I want that marble. And if it's – so the interesting part was the clear versus cat eye. And then, well, marble to marble should always be a one-to-one.
Marble
well, what if you have
marble.
An ugly chipped marble and somebody's got a beautiful marble? You don't want to get in a game where you got to hit that marble twice. Now, croc eyes, I don't know if you got to hit it 3 or 4 times. But the jumbo, I do believe, standard was 8-to-1. Now, other marble experts can weigh in on this. but I think it was 8-1.
The Carbless Talk and Text Line for all you marble experts out there is 844-770-3776.
I don't even understand what the objective of a game of marbles is.
It is. It's to collect the other marbles.
But like, how? You got a little, a little satchel that you got your marbles in, and you go through it.
Like, I know in football.
What do you mean you don't know?
In football.
What did you do as a kid? What did you do as a kid?
I don't know. Play a normal game? Like, when you.
Like what? Carve soap? What were you doing?
At recess.
Cleans itself.
We played lightning. We played basketball. We played soccer. We played
football.
Yeah, we football,
did that too.
We played kickball. We played
fun.
Flag football. We did a lot of things. What do you do on your turn of marbles? Like, what is the strategy? I don't. What do you.
Well, you either be the aggressor or you're going to be aggressively come after. Then there's some you play for positioning. But eventually you got to make a move.
So are you like drawing a circle with chalk that you're playing within that circle or like in the dirt?
I just told you what the general layout at St. Mary's was. There was steps leading into the main.
And windows breaking, yes.
There were steps going into the main entry point. And then there was like a mat in front of it, and there was a gulch on the bottom step that water would collect, and that's where you'd get croc eyes and stuff would get stuck. That's where you wanted to attack. And then people would shove in the mat, but you only had to hit the top of the marble. Any contact on the marble counted. See?
Jerriad put up the bat signal for Marble Chad. See if we can get him on the horn to explain it. Jesse, what do you got from the talk and text line, the Carbless talk and text line?
Matt and West Bend, Tausch is spot on. My parents made me give back all my sister's marbles after I cleaned her clock, and I'm still upset about that.
So
I bet his sister probably was thinking, you know what? Matt beat me fair and square. I shouldn't have to get my marble back. I bet that now she looks back at it, I bet she thinks that way.
So I know when the Tauschers moved, you said that there were some boxes that were never unpacked. That may still be the case. Is there somewhere in storage a giant satchel of your marbles from all those championships you won in your youth?
I would love to say that we do. I can't say for certain we don't, but I don't think they – I mean, I'm talking about this was fourth and fifth grade. Like, peak marble season for kids is probably third to sixth grade. Sixth grade, you're starting to get a little old for it. Like, maybe even second to fifth grade might be that deal. So.
This has been Marble Talk. Tausch's Marble
In fairness,
Menace.
I know there's probably people. I don't have access to the talk and text line and or the chat. I did not bring. I was talking Packers. Y'all brought up marbles, and then you made me expand on marbles, not me.
You literally said
for everybody getting after
it's a marble game. You said that.
That is what I said. Yes, it is. And in essence, what you guys didn't understand, and I think now that I describe marbles, it is a zero sum game, right? The tiebreaker and everything else. Somebody's going to be walking out with a jumbo that you're going to have to come hit six, seven times in order to get it. And the team that wins has that tiebreaker and everything else. You have taken control of the marbles. Doesn't mean that you're going to own them through the playoffs, but you're in position. Your satchel is full of the marbles. That's the marble game.
Your satchel is full of something. Apparently there's a scene in The Office about marbles that I'm Ryan is sending me on Twitter. I got to be honest with you. I'm done with the marbles. I've lost my marbles.
Don't bring it up then. I said it. Y'all expanded. Jerriad, you rascal. I never got into Jax. That was never a game I really got into.
Tiddlywinks understand. On Wilde and Tausch.
Didn't understand. You bounce a ball and you pick up a bunch of junk on the floor? What was fun about that? I never understood that. Jax. Did you understand, Jax?
I did. Yeah, you bounce the ball, you scoop up Jax. You're trying to take the person's Jax. It's for all the Jax. It's for all the Coors Lights on Monday night. between the Packers and the Eagles.
Whether you just took a crock eye from one of your buddies or you got a jumbo or if you're tailgating pregame, make sure you crack open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light when you're ready to chill. It's brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filter, and it is cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
I would like to say that we're going to talk football. I can't say that for
sure. We just talked football.
We did. We talked about Monday.
Very clearly exemplified, this game matters a lot. Especially,
it's a marble game.
Especially to the Marble Mafia from St. Mary's Elementary meeting in their trench coats under the bleachers for their weekly game.
Rolling their marbles off their steps and into the gulch where you could lose your crock eye. I can't believe that's a sentence I just said on the radio.
I believe there was some size between jumbo and crock eye. And if anybody else is a part of the marble community, let me know. I think it was called the queen.
The marble community.
But I'm not sure. So if anybody's in part of the marble community, talk and text. Like Carbless is up on that, and we'll know what's up.
That number that even though he hears it thousands of times a year, that Tausch doesn't know, is 844-770-3776. More Wilde and Tausch, not marble talk, hopefully, next. So stick around.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
I never miss a chance. I don't know if we've gotten more feedback on marbles. We'll circle back to that. But, you know, I love Moneyball. Can the Packers recreate Tucker Kraft in the aggregate?
No.
With all their wide receivers and changing the way they play offense?
Well,
what are they going to do?
I guess if you want to say can they recreate their offense, yes. Can they recreate what Tucker Kraft's production and what he means to this offense? No, they can't.
No.
There's not a wideout that's going to come. They don't have Alan Lazard coming in and crack blocking people and doing what Tucker was able to do. I mean, the play Tucker blows his knee out on, he literally is a pulling guard.
Correct.
Going to clean some stuff up. And you don't ask random tight ends. Like you ask guys that can go block to do that sort of stuff. So to answer your initial question, can they do this offensively and still be as productive? That's the gauntlet that Matt LaFleur has been thrown down to handle. He needs to figure that out. And will he be able to do it? I think we're all skeptical as we sit here right now because the run game has not been as good. I think that needs to ramp up, and you're asking the run game to get better without one of your probably most productive blockers. Makes it tough. So do you revamp and kind of go where Homer? Can't believe I'm saying this. Is talking about spreading things out and, you know, getting the ball out of his hand. When Jordan Love's been at his best, quick, hey, decision, ball, bip, bip, all, bip, bip, yards after catch, let's go. That is and more up-tempo. I do think if I'm Matt LaFleur this week, I am mixing in some tempo. I'm not going to let you sub. I want to see Jalen Carter and what's the other big dude from Georgia's name? The big D tackle.
I'll have to fact check that for you.
All right. Well, the other really is a monster of a man. And you got Jalen Carter. I want to make sure these guys are gassed. I want to see Matt LaFleur go to whatever grouping he's all in on, and I want to either start the game or early in the game, just push. Push for 12 men on the field. Make sure you can't sub and just go to work. Let these guys find a rhythm early in a football game. I don't think you're doing anybody any favors by sitting there lining up, going shotgun, handing the ball off to one of your running backs, having a one-yard loss or a one-yard gain, second and nine. Okay, let's take it to them. I want to see tempo, and I want to see us go fast and let Jordan find a rhythm in the first quarter instead of it always being in the third and fourth quarter or before the half. Jordan's good at it. And, yes, that puts – you don't have to go the whole game of being no huddle up tempo, but I want to see something early in this game where that's what you're doing and you let your guys get in a rhythm and get the ball out of your hands and move the football early in this game. And I think that can be a big jump start to maybe some of the issues that this group's having early in football games.
Jordan Davis?
Jordan Davis, thank you very much.
You're welcome. The Eagles have done a lot to augment their defense through trades. Jaire Alexander appears to be fifth on the cornerback depth chart, if not sixth for them at this point. I'm very curious to see what the Packers can do offensively on Monday night, because I was going to call Mike McCarthy, Big Mike, because unless I'm misremembering this, you guys really wanted to run your offense through J-Mike in 2010, right? You weren't the only one who suffered a significant injury. He did too.
That is...
But that was the plan, right?
Yep.
And so Mike had a rebuild on the fly because Andrew Corliss did not have the same skill set as J-Mike did. Do you remember anything vaguely about that? I think your injury was like in week four or something like that.
Yeah, obviously, you know, Ryan Grant gets hurt the first week, and that changes things up as far as how you're going to run the football. And you saw the list of wideouts, J.J. and Greg and Donald and, you know, Jordy. And Mike McCarthy wisely, I think, looked at it. He really started looking at this in 09. And then J-Mike obviously finished the 09 season just nobody can guard him.
Right.
Watch the Arizona playoff game. Watch the Pittsburgh game.
Right.
It's some of the finest wide receiving tight end play you're ever going to see from J-Mike. So you add that along with those wideouts. Mike's philosophy was, you can call him and he'll tell you this, we don't think your third corner can even hang with our third. And at fourth, we will crumble you. And if we go five, it's over. We're always going to find a matchup. We're going to win. And it was always, let's get the ball out of our hands, and we are going to go. You know, Coach Alvarez used to always say, it's playing basketball on turf. That's what some of these West Coast schools, and we're going to bludgeon you to death. That was the flip of it. Green Bay looked at it the other way. We got Aaron Rodgers. We have these wideouts. We are going to get the football to these guys and let them go to work. And you know what? Pretty dang good. Especially at the end of the year, it worked. Now, were there times, and then the thing when you do that, you have to worry about make sure the quarterback gets the ball out of his hands, because if you go empty or if you don't, you know, if you don't have tight ends, anybody in there blocking, people can blitz you. You're going to see one-on-one all across the board. And how are you going to hold up in the protection part of it?
Right.
That's the trade-off on it. But I think Mike's thought was, even if there's some matchups we don't like, we have five guys that we know are playmakers. Get them the football and get out of your way. And if you believe that this wide receiving group has that capability of being special and Musgrave can widen out and be J-Mike light, that would be part of a plan, especially if you want to go up-tempo like I'm going to advocate for. And I'm going to bet – I would bet LaFleur does something like that this week. And if that is indeed the case – then you'll see. I'd love to see Jaire on Wicks or on our third or fourth wideout.
Yeah.
That, to me, let's see Jaire. Yeah, we'll see how he holds up. Let's the new kid that they just brought in. Let's see. How well does he know the defense? How well can they communicate? This is a game tailor-made to tempo the heck out of this defense.
Definitely need to call Big Mike. Maybe we should just have him on the show tomorrow, see if he's available. We can have this conversation there for everyone to enjoy. what we're going to enjoy now is trivia. Jesse, what's today's category and what caller would you like?
Today's trivia category, I thought we were going to talk a little more about Tucker Kraft and his
did we not just spend that time talking about how you
live
without Tucker Kraft?
We did. So,
unfortunately, Jesse, I've told you this, and this is the hard truth about the NFL.
People like marbles better.
You got 3 or 4 days where you get a little mourning period, and then it's the world moves on, baby. Now, it sucks, but that's the way it works.
So I guess to put a bow on the morning, the arts of craft is today's trivia category. See what I got there? The arts of craft. Like arts and craft.
How do you not have anything marble related in trivia?
Because I got to admit, when I made the show sheet late last night, I did not expect marbles to take up 20 minutes of conversation in the 9 o'clock hour of today's show.
Okay.
Tucker Kraft, the subject of today's Wildy and Tausch trivia.
He wears number 85, or at least he did. I kind of want to make Jesse take 85 calls, but let's just add 8 plus 5, and we'll get 13. Caller 13 right now, 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller 13 plays trivia next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
At the top of the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to have to talk more about Tausch's plan for the Packers offense because he has tweeted. And I always know he feels strongly about something when it actually makes it onto social media with old T. So we'll talk more about up-tempo, why he thinks it's a good idea, and what inspired this thought. But before we can do that, it's time for trivia presented by Cousin Subs.
Wildy and Tausch trivia is presented by Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs' $10 meal deal gives you a 7.5-inch sub, bag of chips or regular fries, fountain drink, and a cookie. All for just $10. This deal is only available online or through the Cousins app.
Some might say that that deal is all that and a bag of chips. Let's see. If Joe is all that, Joe in Milwaukee is our trivia contestant today. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. And I do agree with Tausch. Bring it, put it up tempo.
Let's go. That's it, Joe.
Get that T-shirt out.
Up tempo, Joe.
I agree
Joe's
with
got
Tausch.
A new nickname. Up tempo, Joe in Milwaukee. Love it.
Joe, how do you feel about that nickname?
It's better than the other ones I've been called.
Nice. Well done.
I love it.
All right, let's play trivia. The category, which Jesse is apparently very proud of. I'm sorry, arts and crafts.
The art of craft or the arts of craft. It felt like a good
you
idea.
Don't really. Jesse
is like a stretch. All right, question one, Joe, is this. Tucker Kraft and Mark Tauscher? There's two names I didn't think would be in the same sentence. Competed in a cook-off earlier this year as part of ESPN Wisconsin's festivities around which major events? Was it the NFL Draft, the ESPN Milwaukee Open, or the grand opening of the Pickler?
Oh, well, I'm going to go with the draft. I honestly don't know.
Nailed it.
Indeed, and there was some controversy in who won and who lost and tiebreakers and stuff, but that is the correct answer. You're one for one. Question two is this. In the 2023 season, Tucker Kraft's first career reception occurred in a blowout loss But his first career touchdown catch came later in the season in a big win. Both games were against the same team. Which opponent did the Packers play in each of these two games? Was it the Chicago Bears, the Detroit Lions, or the Philadelphia Eagles?
I'm going to guess the Bears.
The Bears would be... wrong. The Detroit Lions, as Mike McCarthy would say. Big win on Thanksgiving that year. They play them again on Thanksgiving this year. And they faced each other earlier that season. All right, let's bounce back, Joe. Question three.
Is there any chance, can we petition the NFL? Because there's a bad game on that Thursday night.
Can we move it to prime time?
Move that? Yeah.
No.
I want to say the Bengals are playing somebody, and it's like, ugh. I don't know who's playing the Sunday or the Thursday night. Let's move it. Detroit still gets their home game. They still get their deal. Let's move that to Thursday night. All right, go ahead, Joe. Just a thought.
Well, actually, I have to go because I have to ask him a question. Then he'll get
all right, I bet. This one's for all the marbles.
Or at least for one more entry into Friday's drawing.
It's a jumbo.
Here you go. Question three, Joe, is this. Tucker Kraft has one career postseason touchdown reception. Against which opponent did he catch that touchdown pass in the playoffs? Was it against the Dallas Cowboys, the San Francisco 49ers, or the Philadelphia Eagles? It's a tough question.
Yeah.
We'll go with the Eagles.
I'm guessing it has to be Dallas, right?
Afraid not. You touched
it. Well, didn't Melton catch – Melton caught two tutters in that Niner game, didn't he?
I think he only caught one in that Niner game.
Okay. That's what's throwing me off.
All right, Joe. This was for all the marbles, and you just lost your big jumbo.
His satchel's empty. He's got an empty satchel.
You had one correct answer. That gives you two entries in tomorrow's drawing. And we wish you the best of luck as you go about it. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, thank you. It's always a pleasure. And last time I was 3 for 3. Can't always be perfect.
That's true. That's very
four
true.
4 for 6, Joe. 4 for 6, you are Hall of Fame on top of
pretty
Hall.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah. Absolutely.
What is that what is that noise? What is
something
that?
New. Trying some new stuff out.
All right, Tausch is going to explain why he feels so passionately about this redesigned offensive concept that he's trying to influence Matt LaFleur through social media. We'll do that to top off the 10 o'clock hour, and that will start in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.